cool.
Lovely.
Lovely jubbly.
Lovely jubbly.
Oh, ain't this some lovely Ooh, jubbly lovely right jubbly. Here?
Lovely jubbly.
Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is...
Rough Justice.
Oh.
Rough Justice.
Rough Justice.
That's the theme song to Rough Justice. Rough Justice.
Rough Justice.
I was imagining with the Batman just underneath it.
Rough Justice.
Rough Justice.
Yeah. Amazing. That one's from Paul Anthony. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul Anthony. For a dog revenge themed.
Titles?
I still can't get over doing
Justice.
the fact we're doing dog revenge movies.
I'm so happy.
And joining us for Dog Revenge Week is Shannon Graves.
Hello! I'm so happy to be here for Dog Revenge Week. You don't understand.
Paul got in touch with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show to give us your titles every week.
Yeah,
do it.
You don't even have to wait for us to give you a genre, although we do that every kind of Monday-ish. Mm. You should just send us titles anyway. Doesn't matter what genre they are. Just think of a pun. Like usually it's just I just think of like a central word that just sounds good to me, and then I go, what would just be stupid next door to it?
Mm.
Like cats fight God. And
Animal Farm.
Original.
Tom's not quite as good at.
No, I'm terrible.
Guardians of the Gnomes. Just the present that popped into my head.
Avengers Assemble.
the Greek Booster.
The Greek Booster.
Watership Down. Damn it! Oh, right.
Hoagies or not?
Yeah, you guys are so much better at this than I am.
I mean, I realise a lot of the suggestions that I suggest to you guys has something to do with student debt. I think I use you guys to vent out a lot of my ideas
quite,
and suggestions.
Quite a lot of people do.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of the times when we get a title, we're just like, this person is trying to communicate something that they
can't angry at something.
Do you want to meet up and just talk about stuff? We can just chat about your problems. It's okay.
We do a live stream every Thursday.
Yeah, just come say hi. It's
but you can vent out your problems from use your words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come
play games
and use your words.
Shameless promotion.
So, do you want to hear some more honourable mentions for Dog Revenge Week?
Do it.
Okay, so we've got one from CyberConnor, and that is The Yorkshire Terror.
Oh, right. So this is definitely like a murder mystery, kind of Jack the Ripper kind of style.
Yeah.
We open up on a misty... not where I was going, actually. Yeah, no. I heard that, and I was like... Yeah, no, yeah. Oh, wait, no, the idea I had was...
The Yorkshire Ripper.
It's a sort of misty Yorkshire moors, and you hear these boom, boom, boom.
Oh, man.
It's a giant Yorkshire Terrier.
Like just, Clifford?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
But not red.
No. Clifford, by comparison, is tiny.
Mm. Oh, Jesus.
This is like...
How big are we talking? Because Clifford's the size of a house.
Well, yeah, this is the size of a bigger house.
Two houses stacked on top of each other. And you can argue that people think that he's the colourer because he's just drenched in the blood of people that he's been mauling.
Victims, right, gotcha. We're saying this is a prequel to Clifford the Big Red Dog, a gritty reboot.
He slowly turns into Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Oh my god.
Because he eats people.
Yeah. And he goes
to harvest their empathy.
And so, like, there is... He's known throughout Yorkshire as the terror that takes the children at night. And no one can go out on the streets. And he owns the night. But despite being a massive dog and leaving bloody footprints everywhere, the police just can't catch him. They have no idea. They have no leads.
No idea. It's like that bit in Godzilla where they lose Godzilla in New York.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. And one... It's coming up to the blood moon, right? Which is a huge moment for the Yorkshire Terror.
Danger.
Because it's like kind of like in It, where the 7-year break and stuff. He has something similar, but he just needs to nap because he's so tired out, tuckered out from like eating all of these people, you know? Dog needs a nap, okay?
Yeah.
But that only can happen on blood moon. Mm-hmm. And so it's coming up to this time and he needs one more victim. And he goes to this orphanage, right? And then he sees Emily. He sees Emily and is about to... She's out on her own.
For those who don't know, Clifford's stalwart companion.
Yeah, yeah. The girl that takes him in as a puppy, right? And she's out on her own. She's crying. She's lost. And he's going to eat her. But then there's that moment where... Like, kind of like in Attack on Titans where they lift up the hood and it, a moment of pause as they look deep into each other's eyes and he walks off. That's exactly what happens. The Yorkshire Terror looks down and a mouth open wide and just, she turns her face and it's that silent kind of single violin note happening. I'm imagining this, it's amazing. Yeah. And it stops. And the Yorkshire Terrier
fly in here somewhere.
It's
I'm doing the violin note, Matt.
The violin note.
If only we had a violin, and if only I could play it.
And if only you could do a note.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, silence. And the Yorkshire Terror, for some reason, just walks away. And then the film switch to going from Emily's perspective. And she decides she has nothing. She doesn't like the orphanage. So she starts to follow the Yorkshire Terror. The Terror.
It's like a kind of weird reversal of the BFG.
Yes.
Yeah.
It eats her, like, mean old matron for the orphanage, right?
Yeah.
Like Annie.
Mm.
And played by Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving, absolutely. Yeah. He's got, like, a kind of school mom outfit on, and he's like, I don't really like kids. They seem stupid.
Never heard that Hugo Weaving impression before, but it's all right.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's all right.
You know, always room for improvement, but it's there.
It's a Hugo Weaving impression.
Mr. Anderson, I don't really like kids. They seem stupid. Anyway, so it kills him.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need that impression because he doesn't actually say very much in the film.
No.
But Clifford
That's
walks,
all he says.
Clifford,
like
the Yorkshire Terror walks off, or he's not called Clifford yet.
No.
And finds that, a little bit like the BFG, that Emily is clinging to the Yorkshire Terror's tail. And there's a hilarious, cute moment where the Yorkshire Terror, this horrendous beast, is chasing its own tail around the Yorkshire Moors.
Yeah.
Causing massive destruction. Barnsley's gone.
Barnsley's gone anyway.
It's rubbish.
It's a rubbish town. Deal with it, Barnsley. No, seriously, deal with it.
They have been for many years.
You know, actually try deal with it and, you know, reflect on it and try, you know, improve.
Been there, it's terrible.
Do some self-reflection and analysis of your own situation and maybe improve.
My housemate is from Barnsley. All of the stories.
From then on, it's just basically the BFG, apart from, like, he's friendly from the start in the BFG, whereas she has to sort of talk Clifford down. And eventually, he's the thing, because the start of Clifford the Big Red Dog, Clifford isn't big, it's just a dog that is a puppy that grows up to be, just keeps growing. So, after this blood moon, she talks the Yorkshire Terror out of making that one last kill.
Mm.
which would sate the Yorkshire Terrier for the next year or whatever.
Yeah.
And the Yorkshire Terrier is like, okay, I won't make the last kill. I won't continue in this cycle of the curse.
And starts to shrink.
And starts to shrink down into a little pupper.
Little puppy.
Little cute but red pupper, because all the blood is then condensed into the form of this one little.
And as this is happening, though, there's a consequence of not eating the last human or continuing the feasting on the Yorkshire people, is that he loses his memory, and so he forgets everything.
Yep.
And as he shrinks, it's like there's that, before the last shrinkage, there's that moment where he just licks Emily's face and then forgets everything, and then Emily has to take on the responsibility of raising...
giant big red dog.
Right, now go back and watch Clifford the Big Red Dog with the knowledge that Emily is living with a lifetime of trauma, not only from being an orphan and having a terrible, whatever you
upbringing,
call it. Upbringing, but also for having seen the devastation that Clifford has wreaked and still forgiving him and being okay with it. But not only that, but the entire world that Clifford the Big Red Dog is set in has previously been ravaged by a 30-year curse of the Yorkshire Terror.
Yeah. It changes your perspective whilst watching the series.
The thing is, there is... The Yorkshire Terror aside, there is something very Lovecraftian about Clifford the Big Red Dog.
You have me on the podcast. Of course it's Lovecraftian.
Yeah, it's... But just looking at it at face value, it's a big red dog that's not explained, and if you try, it will drive you mad.
And as it's feasting, it like just goes into this black kind of smog of indescribable qualities with just red glowing eyes and...
Something of the other.
I forgot that bit of the cartoon.
Yeah, you know, it was the deleted scenes. I had footage of it.
And then Clifford went to feast.
And it's just Emily going, Clifford, and then laughing.
His tentacles spread out of the sides of his face.
I forgot how in the Clifford the Big Red Dog cartoon, in the sky, all you could see is a giant black spiral.
Yeah, it's a detail that you should have looked over.
You just forget it's there. Just hiding in plain sight. The Yorkshire Terror. From Alex, not safe for work, Keen, we've got a pause in the gunfire.
You've got
the pause as in the play button pause.
Yeah, yeah.
No, got confused for a second.
If this isn't a World War One movie, I'm leaving. Like, that whole story about them on Christmas Day stopping in the trenches.
Yeah, playing football.
Like, there's that... Whereas World War II was very much just sort of like, oh, bomb you, and then I bomb you, and then I bomb you, and all that other stuff. Like,
I've got it right. The football match in the trenches, right? They're playing football. It's quite a short pitch, this.
Right. Yeah.
Playing football. Dog runs in.
Yeah.
Bites the ball, punctures it, football game over. They're both pissed off at the dog. Both sides are pissed off at this dog. Chase it down no man's land with guns. Just come on, come back here, you little shit.
Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be revenge. Never mind.
It's a John Lewis ad.
I was gonna say that the ball has been lost or punctured by like a landmine. I don't know.
A dog.
and then someone has to get the dog. It's been hit by a mortar shell, an unexploded mortar shell, flies off into the distance, and they have to rely on a dog to go and play fetch with it and bring it back. But, which is far more heartwarming, far better for Christmas, but definitely does not work as a dog revenge movie. So you're the one we're going with.
Yeah.
Dog revenge.
Nice and sweet. Just, that's it.
Yeah, put some nice Christmassy John Lewis music on it.
Jingle
Bell Rock. Jingle Bell Rock
from...
Well, I from the radio. But I was gonna say,
Jingle Bell Rock from
Home Alone
music
from Home Alone.
That thing that we do.
No, it's
from instruments.
What I mean is Jingle Bell Rock from Home Alone. They have lifted the soundtrack of Home Alone the bit where Jingle Bell Rock plays.
Yeah.
Including all of the stuff that's playing over it with Joe Pesci's
Joe Pesci
voice.
And Joe Pesci and
cutting to outside, you can hear it from inside.
Yeah.
Like going, is there a party going on in there? Like,
it's like the editor got it from YouTube.
Yeah, he ripped it from. He was like, well, I don't have it and I don't know how to download it, so I'll rip it from YouTube.
Put it in the edit software, put it on, and then just sort of forgot about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll sort that out later. Forgot about it, exported, done.
Placeholder Jingle Bell Rock. And then it was like, oh no, we're not going to get this done by Christmas by this rate.
It's fine, let's just do it, let's just send it off.
So
amazing.
We're in the middle of this. You just got this. Are they having some kind of party in there? I don't know, Marv.
Oh.
So from Dwatg, we've got Who Killed My Human?
That's the Don't Worry About the Government podcast.
That's the Don't Worry About the Government podcast, giving us the title Who Killed My Human?
The first idea that popped into my head is more of a kind of android sci-fi thing. So you have it's a picturesque world, you know, like that proper, like, Smallville kind of, everything is perfect and everything is great. Mm-hmm. And the dogs are going round and it's absolutely fine. Mm. But then one of the dogs in comes through the dog flap and it's all right. And they smell something weird and they go in the corner and then where's the human? And it's just, there's a body there, but it's an android. And it's got, like, circuits coming out. And it's, the movie is about the dog realizing that the humans have been dead for years.
Oh,
and
shit.
That they've all been replaced with androids to stop a dog revolution from happening.
What? Wow.
That was the first idea that popped into my head.
That's a left turn right there. I was on the train of, like, understanding, I was right there. And then the words, to stop a dog revolution from happening, happened. And I was just like, okay, 360.
But without humans, dogs would have a revolution.
Dogs would revolt without humans.
They would be like, we're now top of the food chain and try take over.
Yeah.
And form a society. And so the humans in their dying breath of their mysterious illness knew that this might happen, so they made androids to replace all the humans.
Okay.
Just so paranoid.
Yeah.
But so we're giving dogs, like, heightened capabilities of reasoning in this one, right? So, like, it's sort of like dogs all along were this smart, but it's just we didn't know.
I mean, yeah, or it could be like a Rick and Morty thing where they find some of the broken android pieces and they become intelligent.
It's like the humans up to then had implants into their brain to make them more intelligent. That's how they made, this is the future where they made the androids.
Absolutely, so they had to do a rush job, so they had to, like, you know, make something that could make them even smarter, quicker.
I want to be there in the lab where someone was just like, we gotta rush this job, guys. They are coming.
I want to focus in on the dog who takes over the zoo, because I really want to know what's going on there. Like,
is that a Planet of the Apes reference?
No, I just want to know what happens. I don't think the humans are in the zoo. Just other animals. I'm just like, a dog now runs this zoo of other animals. Mm. Like, because dogs are now racist against other animals because there's, like, lower forms of life. We're all real smart, but you guys, fucking lions. Can you believe people thought they were the head of the food chain? Fuck that.
And then, you know how this would end? It would be the realization that the dogs have become like the humans.
Yeah.
It will be the dog running the zoo, be making fun of the lions that are still in the cages and they've caged up, and then they have a realization and went, wait, we were so sad when they did this to us and we've become them. And it would end.
Sounds like a Terry Gilliam movie. This is directed by Terry Gilliam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was just thinking, like, don't worry about the government, do worry about the dog government.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
that's a podcast set in this world.
There's some funny bits.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were all the titles for this week. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. They may be in the deleted scenes. We had so many.
We had a lot of titles.
Oh my god, there's so many.
Who'd have thought Dog Revenge would have been a good genre.
Gap in the market.
I'm telling you, Dog Revenge is the new upcoming blockbuster.
Yeah.
Gap in the market, man.
Mm. Wonder Woman, look out, okay?
Yeah.
Dog Revenge movies are coming.
I think we'll see a Wonder Woman Dog Revenge some point soon.
From Daniel Mongan, we've got Red Rover, Red Rover. How not giving treats led to a knife fight. from Anna Dazansky, we've got No Harm, No Foul.
Very good. Although better if it's a chicken movie.
Yeah, bro.
Chicken Run 2.
Chicken Run 2.
No Foul.
Yeah. From Liam McGrath, we've got The £80 Fine.
Is that for fouling?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And from Tomasz Czodakowski, we've got Bones. And then he put in brackets, or The Bones, if you're feeling gritty and desaturated.
But also, can that be the subheading? The brackets.
The tagline.
Talking to the audience, yeah. Or The Bones,
if you're feeling gritty and
unsaturated. But also Bones is like, what's his name? Matt Borealis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David Boreanaz.
David Boreanaz or Matt Borealis.
Yeah, we all call him Matt Borealis. That's what he should be called.
Okay, so thank you everyone for your titles. Remember, if you want to give us titles any time of the week, go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast. And you can also find us on Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show.
And don't forget that if you're enjoying the show, be sure to go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast to help us make this show better and to keep it going, keep the lights on, keep us running, and potentially get a little bit of rewards for yourself. There are extra little bits, behind the scenes stuff, and all the way up to movie commentaries, bonus pictures, that sort of thing.
The Mummy, I think's the next one coming out soon.
Yeah. We're even going to be doing...
It's The Mummy, not that one. No, wait, not that one either. It's the one everyone knows as The Mummy.
Brendan Fraser.
The good one.
The good one.
So surely that would be The Mummy, yes, that one.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, that one.
Go over there. Go and have a look if you are enjoying the show, because we do a lot of it and we want you to enjoy as much of it as possible.
Yeah. If you want more, go to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast. So, yeah, go there, please.
Thanks.
Do it.
Do it now. Okay, right now.
So I've got some awards to give out. First one is the Yes, Very Clever Award. This is the award we give out to
my favorite part of the show.
People who, when we suggest genres, when we give genres out, they just take a film that already exists, which is not what we're asking for really, but and then just
pun it,
basically.
Yeah. Oh, that's very punny of you.
And we had so many.
Well, as soon as you go dogs, right? Yeah. You've got like. Probably upwards of 50 potential dog puns.
Oh my god, so many were from my dad. and that's not even a joke. Loads of them were from my dad.
Is he getting the Yes, Very Clever Award this week?
No. No. If you want to grab my attention, go for precision strikes.
not the scatter method.
Go for properly deep cuts. And I think you'll like this one, Matt, because I know that for a fact this is one of your favourite films, is why I chose it. From Joe Thompson this week, we've got The Boondock Saint Bernards.
I saw that one in the comments and I loved it.
Oh man. There was a dog fight!
Yes, Willem Dogfoe there.
Good one, Joe. Well done.
Yes, Willem Fado.
There's another award we give out now, which is pitch a film in a tweet. We give you the title and you pitch it to us in however many characters you've got.
Twitter allows you.
Yeah.
However many character tokens that Twitter has deemed you worthy of so far.
We started it back when everyone had 140 and then... Some people got 280, some people still had 140. So
listen, we're not going to
pitch it in a tweet.
Listen,
please.
We're not going to pretend that Twitter's a fair race. but listen, don't worry about it. Just try your best. Sometimes, you know, brevity is the soul of wit. Maybe 140 characters is enough.
Yeah, quality over quantity.
So this week's title was What Happened to Brian? This week's winner is Dwatg. As he's given us Anthony Hopkins. He's tagged Anthony Hopkins in it. So yeah, Anthony Hopkins discovers a note from Brian left on his dresser telling him to meet at 3 p.m. near the mirror in the library. When Brian doesn't show, he goes on a search through the building. He winds up back at the library and looks in the mirror where he finds Brian himself. He is Brian. His tweet after that is, "Is it bad that my own plot synopsis inspired me to write a children's book?" Like a children's book about that, or just a children's book.
Don't worry about it.
Anyway, thanks for everyone who got involved in that. We do that every week as well. Just go to Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show for that.
Do your best. We don't. There's no prizes.
There's no prizes.
But, you know,
no.
We might tot up all the best ones. All the people we won't. We won't. We're not going through the podcast and doing that.
No, we're not doing that. It's just a bit of fun.
We're lying to you. We're not going to do any of that.
You get mentioned on the show.
Yeah, you know? That's an award.
That's prize enough.
And if we see you,
be grateful.
And if we see you, we'll give you a pat on the back if you want one.
Right. So on with the main pitch.
Yes.
That is Rough Justice. Thank you, Paul Anthony, for that one.
Rough Justice.
What we think. Rough.
Okay. So, man, I would love to set this in, like, the Tudor period.
Why?
Where everyone's wearing ruffs. Just like pull the rug out from everyone under, like you do the trailer with loads of dogs in it. And then it's just like cut to Tudor period drama.
Oh, you expected this? Nope, this is what you're getting.
Shakespearean CSI.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Crime Shakespeare investigation.
Well, yeah. I mean, I suppose you could do that like with just like dogs like hunting people down into the wilderness in Tudor period, but it's tough. Like obviously what the audience wants is basically simple, right? It's a dog in a policeman's hat with sunglasses on.
That's the
hanging out the side of a police car.
Adorable.
And then tracking down criminals. It's probably like a husky.
Mm.
But Rough Justice.
German Shepherd, it's a police dog.
I just thought of Stars being sung by a dog from Les Mis. It's just Javert just as a dog. Singing that song. Don't mind me, I'm just in the corner over here just making my own movie.
Just making an all dog cast of Les Mis.
Yes. I want this to be martial arts. I want this to be a proper old martial arts movie.
I think it's going to have to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, dogs.
So, right. Is everyone in this film going to be a dog? Or is it just going to be like... these dogs are making themselves a martial art, like a dog martial art.
Absolutely. There's definitely dogs and humans because the dogs will be fighting against humans who are both trained in karate, and the dogs are going to win somehow. And it's going to be, all of it's going to be choreographed by Jackie Chan as well.
Yeah. I think maybe Jackie Chan, but Jackie Chan's starting to take more of a less central role. He's taking less of his sort of like these kind of films.
Yeah.
So I think he's definitely like the master who teaches the first dog how to karate.
Yes.
Right?
He is the sensei on top of a hill with the white wispy mustache.
Just the Karate Kid.
Yeah, Jaden Smith is a dog.
Yep. Co-on.
Are we speaking talking dogs here or are we not?
What? Oh, talking dogs, dogs talking to humans.
Yeah, yeah.
Animated
film.
This is a great question. Okay, what if... Okay. There is an order of like, monks who train with their dogs.
Like,
somewhere out in vague martial arts land.
Like, okay. Nepal or something, which was where Doctor Strange was.
Yeah.
I forgot where that was.
Yeah, it was in Nepal.
So they train with their dogs. The dogs become an extension of them. They become an extension of
mind,
their dogs.
Mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, exactly, right? Jackie Chan.
Mind, body, dog, and soul. Mind,
Jackie
body,
Chan is the monk to, let's say, who can we put as like a... I really want to use Elijah Wood. Can we use Elijah Wood? Can Elijah Wood be the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Elijah Wood as a dog.
Yeah.
I'm on board. I'm
so
on board.
He's voicing this dog, and they're doing these cool like flips and shit.
Yeah.
And then, I don't think Jackie Chan needs to die, but Jackie Chan's getting old.
Mm.
His arch enemy, right, ends up going to New York somehow, right? Mm-hmm. At which point, Jackie Chan goes over there and chases him over there to try and stop whatever he's doing and gets murdered, at which point Elijah Wood has to join the police force and bond with the other police dogs in order to... And he's talking to them, but obviously these other police aren't those monks, so they can't talk to the dogs.
Yes.
I'm liking this, yeah.
So it's just about the Elijah Wood dog... getting to know all the police dogs, talking to them.
There's a fish out of water thing where, like, it's country boy comes to the city in one respect. So very much a 90s movie. I think pretty sure that's all of 90s movies.
Zootropolis.
Rich person goes to poor town, or poor town goes to rich.
Poor town goes to rich person.
Yeah.
Town moves to rich person.
Richie rich.
Rich person buys poor town.
Richie rich.
Yeah.
Poor town goes to rich person.
That's
literally
very true.
Is.
It truly is.
Premise is Elijah Wood has to get revenge on whoever killed Jackie Chan.
Yes, and stop them from. I would probably say, it could be like a hate campaign. Like it could be like a little bit like Zootropolis. Someone's poisoning the police dogs to make them attack and savage the criminals, trying to get the police dog initiative sidelined. All these dogs are dangerous. We can't use them in the police force anymore. So let's stop
let's
the police dogs system.
Cool.
Because something about dogs mystically allows. This person stops this person from doing whatever they need to do.
Yeah,
the fact that there are dogs doing justice is the thing stopping.
Because I'm thinking
the bad guy.
That some of the actual human police are on the trail of. Investigating the criminal.
Yeah,
but they're missing something.
Yeah,
and the Elijah Wood dog finds it.
Yep,
and then gets discredited or something. It's like, oh, stupid dog doesn't even pick up on
that's
that.
When we find out about the poisoning sending them a bit crazy because Elijah Wood gets this one piece of evidence, but then gets like stuck with a syringe from one of the goons like sticks him with a syringe and sniffs at this chemical that's on the floor, that's smashed in a vial on the floor, and then goes running off after someone that he sees movement in the corner, goes running off after them, and then they're like, oh, it's such a shit police dog, running off with instead of like helping us look for the crimes.
Yeah.
I think there's another dog played by Chris Tucker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But Elijah
cool.
Wood is the main one. Chris Tucker is the sidekick dog, much like in Rush Hour. Rough Hour. It's now called.
Oh.
Just Rush Hour with dogs.
Jim Carrey is the policeman, right? Is Elijah Wood's main policeman now, right?
Okay.
So, and he is a bit of a he's definitely a kind of traditional policeman. He's like get the clues, whatever. Like, and he's a vice cop. He's looking for this new drug that's out there, that's affecting the community of New York suburb. That one, you know the one?
Yeah, that one.
let's just make one up.
New York suburb.
Oh, sorry, Chalupa.
Chalupa.
Everyone knows the suburb, the New York suburb of Chalupa, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I went there.
Chalupa, New York.
Chalupa, New York.
Chalupa. I barely know her. Yeah. That's what they say when they go there.
Every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
To get in, you've got to say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
saying hello is very offensive in Chalupa. So
they're looking for this new drug, right? And the drug, I think the drug is like sending people crazy, or is it just a regular like kind of drug that takes people away from their families and stuff, right?
I mean, it can be sending, I feel like this drug is sending the people into like canine ravagery as well.
Okay.
So it's making humans just tear off each other's arms with their teeth.
Yeah, and if you get too far into this kind of drug-fueled state, you start to become like a cultist. Like you start meet, they all start meeting.
Yeah.
Like an underground thing, and they've all got masks on, like dog masks on.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, man. That's where we've got to go with
it. In the sewers of New York.
Yeah.
Praising Anubis.
Yeah. Anubis is like the high priest of Anubis is the guy who's the mystical evil guy.
Exactly.
Who's the mystical evil guy played by?
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. Yes.
Thank you.
Whitewashing Egyptians again. All right.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, it's fine.
You know, the god Anubis, he came to me and he said, I want you to be a dog.
I am the dog of Anubis. I just sound like Ray Romano.
Continue. This is the best thing that I've been in. Oh my god.
Gotta put drugs all over town.
He's got a dog himself.
Yeah.
A little
pug. He's got a cat. He's got a cat.
Why would Anubis have a cat?
Because the cats
Egyptians.
Are cute. Yeah, okay. Egyptians, they praise right. cats.
Yeah, okay, he's got a cat played by Ray Romano.
These drugs turning people into dogs.
Yeah, I mean, why the hell you gotta have dogs? I mean, surely cats are fine, right?
Shut up, psychic cat.
Bastard, or bast, if you want.
Psychic cat.
Shut up, you bloody bast.
I am the leader here.
Okay, boss, but I'm just saying that you might want to consider the cat's doing stuff.
No, Anubis told me it was the dogs.
What am I doing here, then? Writing about sports?
You meant to be on my lap. Get on my lap.
All right, here we go.
Huh? Cat.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Purr for me.
Purring. Now, at least if someone walks in, you can look more menacing. I guess that's why I'm here.
Yeah, I can spin in my chair and go, I've been expecting you.
I suppose so. I've had bad experiences with spinning, though. If we could, if you could arrange some kind of seat belt for the chair,
we cut back to a flashback of you having a traumatic experience.
Is he the narrator as well?
He's
the narrator for this entire movie as well.
No, it's just for that one scene. That's not going to be a bit.
Being in another villain's lap and them spinning around and just him coupling off.
Falling out of a Zeppelin,
out of a Zeppelin. All right, there we go.
It's landing on its feet, so it's fine.
So that's the comedy evil double act.
We've got charge, that unlocked.
In charge of these terrifying masked cultists.
Yeah. And this drug.
What's the tone of this show?
Ridiculously violent.
What's the tone of this film?
I don't know. So Elijah Wood dog.
Yeah.
And Chris Tucker, they're on the
It's Chris Tucker and
it's Elijah Wood dog.
Yeah, it's Elijah Wood, Chris Tucker, and what's his name? Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
They're riding around in the back of Jim Carrey's like car. Mm-hmm. Chris Tucker's the guy. Chris Tucker's the dog is supposed to be training, helping to train Elijah Wood dog to be a regular police dog.
Not
he's
a
got shotgun. Like
dog.
Chris Tucker has shotgun. He's allowed the window privileges.
Mm. Yeah.
And there's Elijah Wood in the background, like, fuck's sake,
I'm a kung fu dog. If only they knew.
Well, they're about to find out.
Yeah.
Sunglasses out of nowhere.
So. They find one of these cultists. He just stabs someone on the street. They chase after him down an alleyway.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, we have a Jackie Chan prop fight with this dog using a prop.
A ladder.
You've got a ladder and it's jaws spinning it around.
Yep.
Like a weird Laurel and Hardy thing gone wrong.
There's a bit where the dog does a flip. It's a little ladder. Mm. Does a flip and then like stands
ladder.
On like does it like a pole vault over the ladder and then like brings it down, smashing it down into a criminal's face.
Grabs an umbrella.
And because Elijah Wood dog is small enough, he can go through the runs and it's like that box where it's whack-a-mole. It's like whack-a-mole. This whole fight is a bit like whack-a-mole, but with the ladder and Elijah Wood dog.
Oh yeah, they're throwing a punch and then like they throw a punch at the place where Elijah Wood dog was, and then Elijah Wood dog like jumps onto where their hand is
bites
and then off there bites it and then jumps off onto the top of the ladder and they're like, oh, through another rung, through a separate rung, until both their arms are through the rungs, and then Elijah Wood dog knocks the ladder over so they get pulled down by the ladder and onto the floor. It's a great little fight scene. Impossible to pull off with the real dogs.
Yeah.
But we're going to try.
It's going to be puppets, like really badly made puppets. With just furry blurs, and because it's on in high resolution, you can really see.
Well, we'll keep the puppets as backup. We'll shoot it first with real dogs. See how it goes.
All of the dogs were harmed in the making of this movie.
All of the dogs were very badly.
We're gonna have to train these dogs to actually do kung fu.
5 minutes,
tops.
Yeah, five. Give them a few.
Biscuits.
Give him a few pounds.
Cool. So we've had this fight then. We've had this fight after seeing the cultist stab someone. This fight is ended. And we have the Elijah Wood dog walking over the guy's head just for territorial reasons. And starts interrogating them, interrogating them. Weeing on them is part of the interrogation program.
Okay.
Like waterboarding.
And it's like, Where's the drug?
Yeah,
and these cultists can speak dog because they worship.
Yeah, they worship Anubis.
Well,
which...
Jim Carrey's there for a reason.
Well, he can't.
Jim Carrey can interrogate the.
Oh no,
the
no, no, no! Like Jim Carrey's busy looking for a stash of like conventional drugs. He didn't know what's going on.
Okay,
yeah. He's oblivious. He's buying donuts somewhere. Interrogating other people.
Mm. He'll eventually come around, but at the moment he's
not yet.
Yeah,
no, he won't. He won't until the climax of the film where he's just like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah. Anyway. So I know, but I think the bond between Jim Carrey and Elijah Wood has to happen.
Yeah.
To echo the bond between Jackie Chan and Elijah Wood. Elijah Wood has to be able to move on to a new human.
Fair. So what do they find out from the interrogation?
What? Where's the drug? Where's the drug to? And the occultist is there, like, oh, you're peeing in my face, you're weeing on me. Oh, I can't.
I can't do it.
I can't say anything. I can't say anything. Oh, what? And then it's just like, do it! And he's like, do it! And it really gets a cloak from nowhere. And he's like, fine, I'll tell you, it's in the warehouse on Dog Street.
Dog Street, my favourite street in Chalupa.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's classic. Everyone knows where Dog Street is.
Yeah, it's a great bakery around on that corner. Corner of Dog and Cat.
Amazing bagels.
Wait, it's New York.
Amazing.
Dog
also, pizza's there. Mm. The meat choice is weird.
The corner of Dog and Fifth.
Mm-hmm. There are no Mexican restaurants in Chalupa.
And
No.
And so Elijah Wood's dog's like, great, we've got the lead. And but the realization is that obviously he can't drive. So Jim Carrey is having to drive everywhere, but Jim Carrey doesn't know to go to Dog Street.
Yeah.
So you have this whole entire scene where it's kind of like shenanigan scene going on in the car,
like a distraction thing. Mm. Quick, take that turning with the steering wheel.
Yeah, and it's just he's kind of like puppeting a Jim Carrey to go down this road to Dog Street. And it's hilarious. Comedy ensues.
they knock Jim Carrey out of a bottle. And then,
and it's like you weren't ready for this. I didn't want to do this. Like Jim Carrey's about to stop the car, and they're like feet away from the thing, and Elijah Wood jumps onto his lap and like bonks heads with him, and they do like a mind meld thing.
It's
only supposed to happen between the two paired individuals.
Oh, master and student, they have like that kind of martial telepathy that happens.
Yeah, and Jim Carrey ends up in hospital from this, right? Because he's like his nose bleeding. Everyone thinks he's had a crash.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like. But when he wakes up, he'll eventually be able to... He'll come around and start to be able to understand... Understand Elijah Wood.
And Elijah Wood has this moment of... he's obviously now needs to go to the hospital. And it's before he gets to the hospital bed that he's like, Do I chase the guy that I... Do I chase the warehouse or do I take this... Do I take...
Chase Anubis or do I look after my new partner?
Yeah, and he chooses the partner, of course. And...
Or...
Okay.
Where I was going to go was they were going to knock Jim Carrey out and dress Elijah Wood in his clothes as they drive the car. And then they get stopped by police and there's a funny moment where the policeman, who we've already established is having a pretty weird day.
Yeah.
Just looks in, like rolls the window down and then just... Elijah Wood dog just turns to look at him slowly.
Yeah, there's a beat cop in there played by Joe Pesci, who's having the weirdest day in the world.
But maybe both of these can happen.
So like he does the bonk on the head, the sort of like the mind meld,
and he has to dress up as a policeman to get to the hospital.
Yeah. Jim Carrey falls down. They put him in the boot. take his uniform, stand on top of each other, and do the whole like driving the car, turning to see Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
And then the dog's mouth moves and just goes.
Joe Pesci has a hip flask, and he looks at the dog and looks at the hip flask, looks at the dog and throws the hip flask away.
I've got to stop drinking this early in the day.
Rolls the window down and goes, "Hey, Joe. How's it going?" And then rolls the window back up, drives off, and Joe Pesci's like, "The fuck?" This is just a little moment.
It's
an important and crucial scene, though. Thank you for raising it.
Yes,
So, get him to the hospital. They've lost the lead on Anubis. Jim Carrey can now understand them. They have a brief moment of starting to come to terms with, like, oh man, the training might be going the other way now. Yeah. Like, Jim Carrey wants to learn how to do martial arts with the dog type stuff. But, like, very early into this whole thing, the chief comes down on them, like, how could you let these guys get away? You'd get knocked out, you crash your own car, you're drunk! Played by... Willem Dafoe, fuck it. What the hell? You crash your car. You drunk or something? You left the dogs in the car. And then that happens. And then like Willem Dafoe's aggressive. He's like, I can't believe you've let them. You let them get away. I'm so furious at you. I could beat you into the ground. I could bite your head off.
Oh, I see where you're taking this.
So then like everything starts to go wrong. There's an explosion outside.
Yeah. I'm just.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. You got it.
Put two and two together. Yeah.
There's an explosion outside. Like someone's breaking into the jailhouse for this cultist that they were interrogating.
Yeah.
That they caught. They're breaking into the cells of the police station, not the actual jail.
No.
Then there's like cultists everywhere. They're streaming in, and then because I'm just trying to bring this to its sort of like denouement here. Yeah. Because you can't give them time to have a training montage. No. They've got to use what little skills they already have when they couldn't communicate.
And the power of friendship.
Yeah,
of
and the
course.
Power of friendship.
Chris Tucker dog has been vastly underused.
Well, no, he was working the pedals.
Oh, fair.
To get the cultist also to the prison, Chris Tucker had to shove him into the boot. And then when Elijah Wood Dog took Jim Carrey to the hospital, Chris Tucker had to go off and take him to the prison cell. So that's the panic as well that hits, because Elijah Wood's just like, oh, Chris Tucker's in the prison cell and there's an explosion. The stakes are high in this.
Really high.
Fucking
nobody
high.
Knows quite what this Anubis character is trying to do, but anyway, we're pretty sure it's bad.
Yeah. Trying to bring back the god dog.
He's trying to bring back himself, like
Anubis.
Into god form.
Yeah,
look at me. I'm Anubis.
Yeah.
Kind of
the carrier of Anubis' spirit.
Anubis is the keeper of the underworld, right? One of the ones who judges.
Oh, yeah, he is the god of death.
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. He's trying to get all these dogs put down because he's trying to make them all aggressive.
Oh, to
make, all the dog owners kill their dogs. Mm. To bring back his undead arm, like not undead, but his army of the dead dogs to take back his underworld. Like obviously the Egyptian gods have faded from
modern
times,
and stuff, yeah.
American god style. Anubis is going to try and take it all back.
This
and...
is good. Christopher Walken's kind of downfall though is obviously the cats, because cats originally were the guardians of the underworld. That's why they were so praised. And obviously, he's now trying to replace the cats with
and
dogs.
So Ray Romano like leads a little uprising.
Yeah, that would be the ending. It will be like it will be a war. It will be a neck and neck martial arts fight off between Christopher Walken and Elijah Wood Dog.
Yeah.
The others split off, fighting different factions of the cultists. It'll be neck and neck and. Elijah Wood is looking a bit rough.
Christopher Walken, good at neck and neck.
Ray!
I've seen Sleepy Hollow.
Ray! Romano, cat, come and help me, please. And Ray Romano's like, no, you treated me like shit, Deborah. Anubis.
You spin me off your chair, just like everyone else. You never even fit that seatbelt.
I'm gonna leave this sewer now and go live a life of my own. A rich suburban family.
And loads of other cats where we're gonna sing.
We're gonna sing jazz. I'll join a jazz club. It'll be amazing.
I'll learn how to play piano. Oh, amazing.
That happens. And okay, so the denouement has to be that Jim Carrey gives his life, or we all think he's given his life to throw himself into this like dog beam. I don't
know. Wow.
It's some kind of undead dog beam where these souls of these dogs are being transmitted into the underworld, and Jim Carrey like harnesses his connection with dogs that he has now to siphon it off and turn it against Christopher Walken and knock him off his pedestal where like Ghostbusters, like he's sort of channeling this huge underworld business with a green flame from Big Trouble in Little China, and also weird sack. It's in the same set as the ritual room from The Golden Child. just figuring out which urban fantasies we can steal from.
Stiff of Marshmallow Man's in there at one point. Yeah,
they've got to not cross the dog streams. They're all pissing. and that's it, really.
Yeah,
and
that's it, really.
after channeling this dog beam and obviously directing it at Christopher Walken, who then perishes into the dog gateway that he opened before that they were fighting in front of.
His mask is like big Anubis mask made of silver just clatters to the floor because he's just been zoomed off into the thing.
And they
put it in a vault.
Yeah.
And it goes to like 10 years later.
I was there putting it in this box and putting it into a vault.
Yeah. And then the Elijah Wood dog, he decides to stay in New York with his new best pal, Chris Tucker, and also Jim Carrey, and makes a faction within the police dogs of teaching them martial arts. Mm.
The martial arts dogs.
Yeah, the martial art dogs, the special force, named after Jackie Chan, of course.
Just Jackie Chan.
And Jim.
Jackie Chan's dogs.
No, just Jackie Chan.
Yeah, the Jackie Chan dogs.
No, just Jackie Chan.
It's like, okay, we need to get Jackie Chan on the case. Comes out with about 12 dogs.
Yes.
The Jackie Clan.
The Jackie Clan!
It's just Jackie Chan.
Okay.
he's adamant. I don't think we're
going to get it. Okay, that's fine.
We're not going to get away with this, Shannon.
Jackie Chan. Chan, then. But Jim Carrey's character is... He retired from the force, and the audience are left hanging on, why? Where has he gone? And then you follow... The final scene is Elijah Wood dog walking over to this house, you know. Normal suburban house, really, really nice. And he opens the door, and there's... And there's Jim Carrey's character, and he's just like, how you doing, Guardians of the Docks? And he turns around, and he has the new Anubis mask. and he is the protector of all the dogs that have died.
Oh, nice.
And it ends with him turning around, and he has an envelope, and he's just like, we've got work to do. Keeping people on the edge of their seats if there's a sequel.
Well, there will be, because there's also a shot of Willem Dafoe, like, taking the artifact that was used to channel whatever this gateway was.
Yeah.
And like he's like taken off his taken off, because we didn't discuss this earlier, but I totally hinted at it that Willem Dafoe was the leader of the cult, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was totally using the drug.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. But like he like takes off his dog mask, and then he like not takes it off, but he puts his dog mask in his house into a vault, ships it off to the government facility, and then puts on a crocodile mask, and he's like, well, fuck this, I'm raising Sobek.
Yes. And then it goes to
just changes
the
god.
Credit.
Rough Justice 2, Pig in the City. End police. Credits. End credits. Who let the dogs out?
Who lets the dogs out?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yes, that was Rough Justice. Thanks, Paul, for that title. And thank you for getting this far into the podcast. This stream of consciousness that is the Life's a Pitch podcast.
Yeah, I think that was a good movie.
So yeah, thank you for listening. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch show.
And remember to go to soundcloud.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast to do to just listen to everything we've ever done, really. Everything we've done under the Life's a Pitch name anyway. We've got all sorts over there, and we've got, what episode are we on now? Like 200 and something?
This is 144.
Okay, 144. I was a while away. I was thinking 60 episodes ahead. We don't record that far in advance.
No, thank you, Shannon, for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
If you want to let people know where to find you, what else do you do?
I do a lot of things. I do improv here, there, and around Sheffield. Mm. If you're interested in improv, come see some shows. We have Strike Podcasts. Give them a listen. Follow my lovely, lovely compadres.
The Sturica podcast, because it's got an umlaut there.
Yeah.
Sturica. Sturike.
Yeah. Also on SoundCloud, Strike Comedy.
Strike Comedy on SoundCloud. Yeah, no. Good episodes.
Oh, absolutely. We've had a new change of format.
Recent formats. Very cool. So go check that out. It's a very cool improv time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, thank you for listening.
Yes.
And
until a fairly obscure ancient god is brought back in the shape of a odd choice for an animal casting, and you have to fight it off using only your bond with your favourite pet, that you work with. I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
And I've been Shannon Greaves.
Remember, who pitched it?